according to the fullness of times, of the word, the testimony, the covenants, and the cleansings. God has given his servants and prophets meals to serve his people, that darkness in men might be destroyed. Behold, the Lord's table is laden with meals to build a generation of overcomers. From this table comes the ministration of grace from God's servant. Listen and be blessed.
Father, we give you thanks. We receive grace this morning. Let your spirit guide us into that which you have for us. I rely absolutely upon you. I depend on nothing but your spirit and the portion of truth available for us. In this meeting, Lord, you have already given us a grant, like your servant has said. And Lord, we are laboring around that, trusting that your spirit will open line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there. In Jesus' name. All right, when I saw the theme of this conference, my heart was quickly endeared to it. Because just like God's servant said, he said that it's not an eternal life embassy. And I agree, because the theme carries some note of finality and resolution that defines our current phase of building as a community and also the season. So the theme is both prophetic and then apostolic. By apostolic, I mean it defines our posture in the New Testament, what we should become in our commitment to the message of eternal life. It defines what we should become in our commitment to the message of eternal life. Then also prophetically, it also represents the burden for the times. That more than ever before, God is committed in raising a generation of overcomers. Can we all say amen? Amen. So very, very simple. Because for a while, I've been a little bit burdened, concerning our journey as a company in terms of being able to meet the demand of the Lord at the time that we should meet it. So when you were saying what you said, I got my confirmation. You were saying that you were talking about 26 years and you said 40 years. I like that sense of timing, because that's been the recent dealing on me, that we need to build with a sense of timing in the spirit. Considering the events in the nations of the earth, considering things happening around us, there's a certain kind of expectation or requirement that we should have as a body of believers, as a company. There is something that God should be harvesting from our midst. Can we say amen? Amen. There is an expectation of heaven. There's a standard of heaven. So this year, I began this year with a different sense of urgency in my own approach of building with our own community. And this is much. For me, it's as if the whole year has gone, because it has been more intense. In the realm of the spirit, there's been more intensity in our response to this message, in the demand that God asks from us to quickly close gaps. When I mean closing gaps between what is taught and what is lived. Closing gaps. In the last 2 years, the Lord has been dealing with me on that you have to close the breaches and close the gaps. I had an opportunity to, minister in EGFM Global Retreat this year, and I shared some of those burden that we're in a season where there's a verse in Psalm 48 that says, as we have heard, so have we seen. As we have heard, so have we seen. So there's a season for hearing. Meaning, people will hear the message, but they will now come to see what has been built in terms of conversation and the whole, body of truth being demonstrated as life. So life, eternal life, is not a concept. It's not just a message. It's the life in the Godhead. It is the conversation in the Godhead. Can we all say amen? Amen? It is the conversation in the Godhead that must be fully received by a church dispensation on earth. And I know that if God is not serious about us becoming the first fruits of this message, he won't be committing so much to us. Oh, God has committed so much to us. Do you all believe that God has committed so much to us? Forget it, please. Don't judge it by the crowd. If I think that God police the crowd so that we'll be focused. You know, a lot of people judge quality of ministry by the number of people. If it's about numbers, God has no problem giving us numbers. God has no problem in Eternal Life Embassy becoming 10,000 in Ondo. It's not a problem to God. All right? The issue is that God is particular about quality. He is so passionate about quality. He is monitoring the work at every stage because we must build according to pattern. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Are you following me? So the team is a resolution, the overcomers. I like that. I see that as a mission statement. So what Reverend Bussi is giving us, they say it's a mission statement. He's giving us our mission statement as a company. This is our mission statement. When they say, who are you? You say, I'm an overcomer. I'm not talking about it with the sense that we used to know it. In the sense of finishing this age, rounding up the dispensation of God, and bringing up a whole new world. Can we say amen? So, because when you say overcoming, within the framework of the epistles of the apostle, particularly the book of Revelation, it has to do with finishing the mystery of God. It has to do with finishing conclusion, finality, coming into the inheritance, laying on the promise. So that's why I said it's a missionary mentality that this conference is supplying to us. The overcomers. That is our identity. Oh, I'm not getting response from you. I said that is our identity. Now, the team connotes a lot of things. You know, it's a very broad team. I mean, this is the old New Testament. Really. But I'm going to be teaching it in terms of, you know, the book of Revelation and our becoming the habitation of God. I'm going to look at it from that angle. But before we look at that, one thing I want to say is that our inheritance or our promise is at the end of a battle. Let me say that again. Our inheritance, you know, all the inheritance of the New Testament, particularly the promise of eternal life, which is the promise of all promises. Can we say amen? Because we know that the names of God are promises. Can we say amen? They are all promises, but there is a promise of all. It is at the end of a battle. So God deliberately did that. That the promise of his life, he put it at the end of a journey. And those journeys are journeys of overcoming. So you cannot come into God's life as an inheritance or lay hold on eternal life as a promise without understanding the whole process of overcoming. You have to overcome. Can we say overcome? Now let me break it down, all right? I like the word. It's come over. God is saying come, but you have to come over some things. And God is aware that there are things there. And God is not saying go and pass that place. You know, it's like trying to guide you through another direction so that you not face the obstacles that are within you and your promise. God is saying come, but in coming you have to come over. So it means that God is not unaware of things we need to come over. Oh, you're not getting me. As a matter of fact, God allows that to be part of the skill, the journey, the process that we must go through to inherit him. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So you can't come into the promise of eternal life. You can't come into the calling of the Godhead for man without the understanding of overcoming. So normally, I normally tell every Christian that we need to instill the concept of overcoming to you even when you get born again. All our Christians think that Christianity is a jeko-jeko thing. So when you see someone going through some kind of difficulty, it's almost as if this is not what I bargained for. So what exactly were you thinking? You have an adversary that is set to make sure that you never fulfill God's high callings. You never come into all that God has ordained. Including the fundamentals. There are spirits that are there for you not to come into them. So you know that the whole journey of a Christian is a journey of overcoming. Oh, are we together?
Yes,
the whole journey, your lifetime, when you say you're a good Christian, when they measure your lifetime, They will see you as an overcomer. You have gone through battles, contradictions of life, assaults of the enemy, but you stood strong at the end. Then they say, this is an overcomer. But now we are not applying that same context within the framework of God's overall purpose for the church. That a generation must overcome all things to come into the all things of God. Can we all say amen? Amen. All right, let me start from that. So Revelation 21, quickly to verse 7 because of time. Revelation 21, verse 7. Of course, you know, in the book of Revelation, the word overcoming was mentioned consistently from back to back. Now let's see verse 7. It says, he that overcometh shall what? Inherit all things. So see that. So we can say, if overcoming here means you can inherit all things, it means that he that overcometh here is also he that overcometh all things. So there's an overcoming that is all things. What did I say? So for you to come into the inheritance of all things of God, it means you must overcome all things. So there's a sense in which you can overcome, but you have to overcome all things. So this conference is giving us a sense of an overcoming with a sense of finality. That there is a generation that must overcome all things to come into all things of God. Can we all say amen? He now says, and I will be his God. I will be his God. And he shall be my son. So sonship with God, or full sonship with God, is tied to a journey of overcoming. Full sonship with God is tied to a journey of overcoming. Can we all say amen? So with this sense in mind, we can now say that it takes the full revelation of Jesus. It takes the full appearing of Jesus to raise overcomers. Or the purpose of the revelation of Jesus, or seasons of his appearing, is to raise overcomers. Because overcomers are sons of God. You can't be a son of God, a full son of God, meaning you are a full titled son of God without overcoming and receiving all things. Can we say amen? Amen? So it takes the gospel of God, the full allocation of the gospel, to raise overcomers that God can call my son. My son. Now, the purpose of the revelation of Jesus is to do two things. Number one, is to give God a place of rest. So meaning that God desires a place of rest. We see that in Isaiah chapter 66. Let's go there. I'll gradually build this thought. God is looking for an habitation. God is looking for a dwelling. Now think about it. The great God that created the universe and the ends of the earth needs a place of rest. And the place of rest is tied to his eternal project. And his eternal project is tied to seasons of overcoming. Can we say amen? Amen. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build unto me? That's a question. And where is what? The place of my rest. Can we say place of my rest? So, overcoming all things gives God a place of rest. Overcoming all things give God a place of rest. So you can see that your overcoming is tied to giving God a permanent residence in man. Now, in themselves, they are rested. How many of you know that God is a being of rest? The God life is a rested life. Eternal life is a life of rest. So it's not like God is looking for rest. No, God has rest. But because God chose to share his estate with man, which is the whole purpose for creation, the whole reason why we have creation. I mean, if you know, can you tell me how long God has been? Who can tell me here? Nobody can define his beginning or his end. So it means that God's life is undescribable, undefinable, to a human mind. You can't comprehend how long God has been with himself before he decided to start creation. But we know that at a point, God began to commit himself, desired to commit himself to man. Can we say amen? And that movement of God in wanting to commit himself to man is what you call love. Or we can say mercy. Meaning that God now wants to, what? See himself reproduce in man. So because of that, a rested God must put his resting place in man. So God is at rest. So but now, God now wants to share his estate with man. So the Godhead is complete in themselves. There's a note of conclusion in the Godhead. It's not like they need man so that they can feel complete. They are complete. I need you to follow me. What did I say? Eternal life is a fully resolved life. The Godhead is a resolved life. Within the scope of the Godhead, if they are there for zillions, time, 4 years, you don't even know, time does not exist in that zone. They are not bored. Like, you know, when you're alone for a while, and then you now begin to look for fellowship. The three have enough fellowship that they need for forevermore because they have eternal life. Can we say amen? So they have fellowship, they have love, they have everything that they need in the Godhead. What motivated them to consider a being called man is just love or mercy. They desire to extend their lineage to man. And because of that, their estate must be reproduced in that man. That estate that they have. Because the desire to extend themselves to man means that they want man to be part of their fellowship. I just want you to give. What did I say they want man to be? Not lesser. Part of that fellowship of eternal life. So because of that, they need to reproduce that estate in man. That estate of rest in man. And that is where the project is. So I said, overcoming should give God a place of rest in man. Are you following me? Of course, I don't want to go into the whole process of Genesis and all that. So meaning that if we have finished our journey of overcoming, we become a place of rest. So you now see that your overcoming is tied. You becoming an habitation for God and a place of rest. So two things. That's the first thing. God wants a place of rest in man. We see that in the book of Revelation. Revelation 21 and 22 is the result of the project of God, eventually accomplished in man. Let's go back to Revelation 21. Can we say amen? Amen. Because I want to go into overcoming, but I need to paint the overall picture to us so that we can appreciate when they say overcome. You can know that that's your mission statement and that's your life mission statement. You're not called to be anything. You are called to be an overcomer. Before you're a doctor, a lawyer, a businessman, a preacher of the gospel, a prophet or apostle, you have an eye calling. Oh, you're not responding to me. You must be an overcomer. Now look at from verse 1. Let me read from verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth, heaven and earth was passed away. And there was no more sea. Second verse, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared what? As a bride. For who? So we see two things there. Number one, we see a place of rest for God, or what you call an eternal dwelling place for the Godhead. Then we also now see another thing, very interesting thing, a wife for the Son. Now, why the bride? For God to accomplish his eternal project of man being his dwelling place, one of God must become a man. All right, what if Adam did not sin? Fine. But you see, the idea is that the idea of Jesus, the Word becoming flesh, was not an afterthought. Eh? The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. It's almost like God knew that man will not be able to do the project without their input. Are you with me? So, one of the Godhead became man, perpetually man, so that man can be integrated into God. So the reason why God became flesh is so that flesh will enter into God. Can we say that again? So the reason why God became man, so that man can enter God. So the Word became flesh. And the Word becomes the integration or melting point between humanity and divinity. That is the message when you say Jesus. The Word becomes a melting point between humanity and divinity. So, because of that, the project of God is not just God getting a place of rest. They must also give a wife to our Lord Jesus Christ. Or a body. When you say body, a body is a company of people expressing the life that the Son of God received as a man. We all know that the Son of God is God. Can we say amen? Amen. But you know, he became man. Right now, he's a man that is God. You don't understand? Now, that is a prophecy of your life. Jesus came to prophesy your life for you. That man can become God. Or man can enter. What I mean, I'm not saying it in the wrong sense. I'm saying that man can be integrated into God. That's the whole reason. Jesus' lifestyle is a template of how you can find yourself in God. Glory to God. So because of that, the project of God is now twofold. God needs a place of rest in man. The Word that became flesh, that became the melting point between man and God, also needs a body that will become like him in the Godhead. So Jesus Christ is representing man in the Godhead. What did I say? So in the beginning, there were all three spirits. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. They now decided to bring man into that fellowship of life. So one of them became man. So right now we know that Jesus is the first overcomer. So when you want to define overcoming, you must, the highest form of describing it is in the context of fulfilling the purpose of God. So Jesus now is an embodiment of God's purpose or God's desire for man or God's vision for man. Jesus came to play out a prophecy in God. Jesus is the first prophet of God that fulfilled the vision of God. Glory to God. So there is an overcomer on the throne. Now let me say it. There is an overcomer in the Godhead. Now, if you know that in the Godhead, they didn't need to overcome before their God. The concept of overcoming comes when the vision of God or the project of God will have to be executed in the world of man. Abi Pastor, God is God. He doesn't have to overcome anything. He's God. When you are in that world of God, there is no enemy. God, you don't understand? Eternal life. Within the concept of eternal life, there is no enemy. Who is the enemy? The person that became the enemy was created now. So you now see how high the world of God is. Very eternal life world is so separated from the world of creation. That's why it's not possible for you to win God at any war. You have already lost because you don't understand. You don't even know the source. You don't know. You are fighting a battle from here, and The person you are fighting is here. So the concept of overcoming only exists because God's project must be done in the world of man or in creation. Can we say amen? Amen. And because of that, Jesus is the first definition of an overcomer. Of course, we have had several times of overcomer in scripture in the Old Testament. Of course, we know Job is an overcomer. A type of an overcomer. Sons of God in different capacity are types of overcomer. But as relates to the vision of eternal life, or to the project of God, which is eternal life, the project of God is to give man eternal life. This is the promise that, that is our promise, even eternal life. This is, ever say, the promise. You are not saying it like you want it. What did God think of when he created man? Think about it. Did God think of a good life? I want them to have a good life. So when you think of Orire today, what do you think of? Or God says, even marriage. You know, marriage is a subset within the construct of the eternal purpose of God. The reason why you can even marry is because you were created in the first place. So, why were you created? You are not created for anything that you think of that the world runs with today. God had something in mind when he created man. He wanted man to partake of the promise of eternal life. To God, it's not a promise. To you, it is a promise. Yeah. To God is his life. Then to you is a promise. So even from the Garden of Eden, eternal life was a promise. You know, for those that I used to argue, Pastor Demetri, you people are just always stretching truth. You like stretching truth. I have eternal life already. Now, if you say you have eternal life already, it means you are an overcomer. That's what it means. Now, let me not say you are an overcomer. You are the overcomer. Because that's why I said, remember, see, did not call this conference an overcomer. Mm-mm-mm. So when I saw the occurrence, I said, remember, see, has given us a difficult subject. This is a note of finality. It's not saying an overcomer. It said the overcomer. The overcomer. The overcomer. So you cannot become the overcomer except it is in the context of the promise of eternal life. Yes. So Jesus Christ is the first of the overcomer. So the overcomers are his generation. Oh, you're not saying amen. Amen. So man was created to share up the estate of God. We were created to partake of God's life, which is his promise to man. So I've showed you. So God wants to stay in man forevermore. He wants to share an estate in man. He is at rest, but he wants rest to be reproduced in man. Secondly, our Lord Jesus Christ needs a body that he will call his bride. Now, when you say somebody is your bride, actually, the concept of male and female is an original concept in God. There's something called male and female in God. Heaven and earth in God. One, originates, the other expresses. Two. It's a concept in God. Of course, I know you have heard this under our Father in the house. Male and female is an original concept in God. Like heaven and earth is an original concept in God. So see Jesus as the heaven and the bride as his earth. Of course, you see that in Isaiah 66. It says heaven is my throne. The earth is why? So heaven is where they administrate things from. Earth is where they express it. So that is a concept in God. So because of that, our Lord Jesus Christ being the man head, man that entered into what the God head, carries the whole vision of eternal life for man. If the head has it, then the body must express it. The only reason why Jesus entered into the Godhead as a man is to make man have a stake in the world of God. So our head is in eternal life. Oh, you're not getting me. I need you to follow me very well. What did I say? So if your head is in eternal life, what should you be? She'll be there. So you are supposed to grow up into your head. Come on, can we say amen?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. You now see where it comes from. Eh? Ephesians 4. But speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up into him in what? So, pastor, when you say all things, it means that to grow up into him all things, you have to be of the overcomers. Jesus was the first overcomer. Any overcomer that will become into all things, to him that overcome, and inherit all things, I shall be his God, and he shall be my son. So may grow up into him in all things, which is what? The head. Even what? So this Christ is Christ in eternal life. This Son of God. Can we say amen? Because at times when you see Christ in scripture, you must know the context of which Christ is existing. This is actually growing into the Son of God. So our head is in eternal life. So the purpose, so the highest purpose of the church on earth is to be a bride. Because you can be a church and not become bride. You may never be bride. You are a Christian, you are a saint, you live a good Christian life. You went to heaven, but you did not really fulfill the purpose of why the Jesus Christ is in the representing man in the Godhead. The reason why the Son of God is in the Godhead right now for man is that man comes into the promise of eternal life. So the highest state that the church can come into in this dispensation is to become what? The bride of our Lord Jesus. I don't know if you know the highest title that the Son of God became was a lamb. So you now see that when you see Book of Revelation, the lamb, the lamb, the lamb, the lamb. So we need to understand what is that thing? That lamb captures the lambic nature that captures the estate of eternal life. It is the lambic nature. You know, the Book of Revelation is interesting, Pastor. They are showing the Son of God is on the throne, but they put a lamb there. John saw a lamb that he was slain. That was the vision the Reverend Kayode Oyegoke, our Papa, had. So he saw that vision is a very, very powerful vision, sir, because that is the vision, the highest vision you can have. It has a lamb. Not just it's a reigning lamb. So the Son of God that is reigning in glory is typified by a lamb. Meaning the lambic life captures the estate of the God life. So it's not just the Son of God that is a lamb. All of them are lambs. So, sir, you can't be a malu. Amen. Don't mind me and my jokes. Can we say amen? You know, nobody ever jokes with a me lamb. You know, when we are growing up, in that day, growing up, everybody had all kind of names, scorpion, tiger. They used to call my brother when we were growing up, Ajo. Can you imagine? Ajo. White lion, the tiger, jaguar. Have you ever heard anybody say lamb? And you go, but they say, you don't fit on me. Amy lamp. I was going to say, Amy Dove. It's Satan that did all those things. Satan even hid the identity of some animals that God put in creation to bear witness to his life. Satan made them look foolish. Have you ever seen somebody post, Amy, sheep of God? When people want to use the word sheep, they use it in a sense that derogatory sense. You are sheepish. So but you say you are lionic. He say, black sheep. Why black sheep, sir? He said an abusing powerful prophetic portraits. Because once you miss the portrait, you don't understand the life. So lambs represent the estate of God. So you see the 144,000, they stand with the lamb. They didn't say they stand with a man. So if they stood with the lamb on Zion, it means they are all lambs. I mean, that's the highest estate that a man can attain to on earth. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I'm gradually moving this. So, an overcomer must end his life being what? A lamp. Yeah. Or how you measure the strength of overcoming is how lambic you are. Because this war is a war of meekness. You can't deal with the enemy, yeah, if you are not a lamb. You cannot undo the dragon. The only animal, because you see, in the book of Revelation, they are using animals as prophetic types for life. So dragon, what can war that dragon, which is the ultimate adversary of our inheritance, is a lamb. If you're a tiger, the dragon will deal with you. Even the lion is an internal configuration in the lamp. The lion prevailed, but when he, that's John 5. Are you following me? Revelation 5, okay? Are you with me? I just want to show you with me. By the time John saw, he saw a lamb that was slain, but the inward configuration of the lamp was a lion. But it was a casing of a lamp. So I'm showing you that eternal life, the highest consecration of the church on earth is to become the Lamb's bride. That's what I started teaching from the beginning of the year. So I've been in this burden too. Can we say amen? It's the highest thing that you can, it's the highest consecration of the church on the earth. Within all that is the man child. The man child is not a special squad. Oh my. We must desire to be that man child company. You people are not saying amen.
Amen.
You know, when you say some things, people shout amen. I said we must desire to be man child. That's a special squad. Now I can tell you this. Well, with the benefit of hindsight, there's no man child company yet. But there have been overcomers. You know that John overcame. You know that Paul overcame. You know that the apostles overcame, but they were not man-child. So we have a lot for us as a generation. Are you excited? Doesn't look like you're excited. So we can say categorically that we know that all these men that say that they are overcomers, they are part of the Lord's bride. Paul will be part of bride. It's clear. It can't be lesser than it. Someone say, how do you know? Check his epistle. How can somebody write like that? He said, I finished my course. You think it's ministry course? A man say, I have finished my course. And then he predicted what he will get. He was not like, I'm real sure. Too certain. Look at it. So I know that this thing is an exact science. He said, actually, we don't know. Somebody, while he was passing the writing, says, I finished my course. So there is a course of our inheritance. It's also the course of overcoming. So you can also render it that I have finished overcoming. I have fought a good fight. So like I told you, I said, your promise is at the end of a fight. This is what the good fight. Don't even fight some fight. It's not good fight. Amen. Can we say amen? May God help us from bad fights. The only reason why it's a good fight is in the context of the promise. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Meaning I can't finish my course without a fight. Hello? Are you sure you are with me? There are some guys that are not ready for you to finish your course. In fact, our adversary exists. This is the best way to define your adversary. Every other adversary or opposition you have, not in the context of you not coming into your promise, are lesser adversaries. The real enemy gone. Because, amen, ever say the real enemy exists to stop you from coming into the vision of Godhead for man. So somewhere, Satan knows that you have not conquered him fully if you just made heaven. Come on. The Christian just made heaven. Beautiful. We must make heaven. But you didn't lay hold on eternal life. So you have not overcome the enemy. The real enemy is set for man not to inherit eternal life. Why Jesus is the overcomer is that what? He overcame death. Now, so he is recorded that this is an overcomer in the order of the project of God or in the promise of God for mankind. Can we say amen?
Amen.
We are pushing this thought gradually. Are you with me?
Yes,
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So two things. God wants a dwelling place. That will be a place of rest. The lamb needs a wife. Or a bride. Now, you know that your wife cannot be lesser than you in conversation. So if Jesus, Revelation 21, thank you. Start from verse 17. 7. I want to find myself in 7 churches, but let me just start here. Because that's a very special church. Church that we must study. I'm not so sure that we are really fast. I've been asking God that, God, are we fast? Well, so where he was saying, what is it? This man, he has already thought ahead. That's some of my concerns, God. Are we matching time well, marking time well? I'm not so sure we are really fast. Considering the days are getting grossly wicked. I'm telling you, the days are getting, and I was telling someone, I see, at the beginning of the year, when we were crossing, doing our cross, I said, the next 10 years will be terrible on the earth. By the time we are crossing this particular decade, it's about finishing. But when we are moving into from 30 upwards, I just saw some kind of environment that is strange to even our own generation. So I was asking, I was telling them in about, I said, we must use the next 4 to 5 years very well. Very, very well. God, some of us are entering to this part. You think that you have time. You know that sense of which you have time. You need time. When you have sense that motion, you need time, let it grow. You know, some of us are still struggling with the Holy Ghost. I see have time. We don't have time. Really, we don't have time. There's no time. Let me tell you the truth. We need grace to buy time. If I look at the darkness in the world and the state of the church now, it will take mercy for us to quickly match up time. Now think about it. I say this, you know. I have a father here. Think about the general church. Look at the things that we still struggle with in terms of judgment. We cannot even say there is doctrine of Christ in the churches. Those were my concerns. I was worried. I was just down. Say, God, how are you going to do? I was bodied for God. How do you want to do it? God said, don't worry, I have my joker. Because logically, it looks very hard. Now, I remember when we were teaching Doctrine of Christ, look at the warfare that came. Faith is not faith. Faith is, what do you mean? Faith is faith. There was warfare. So much warfare. Then when we started the brings of everlasting life, warfare broke out again. And then I'm looking at the whole body. You still see some of the conversations in the body. Look what people are still fighting on. You look at it, God. So, but God says he's going to get the work done. So God now says, I need a forerunner church. So Pastor now knew our place. So now I'm not even talking about the general church. I'm talking about our company. The purpose of this, our company, is that, you know, there was a time, amen, are you with me? We are an house of Joseph. They send you ahead to preserve posterity. That's what we are. Because the time will come, people will come asking questions, not with the message alone. Now, they are asking questions based on life. Life question. Eternal life is a life. So when they say, what is eternal life? We say, look at, see Reverend Busui, see Mommy Binkwe. You know that you're okay. What is that like? Open your Bible. Some people are not ready. They don't have the... Before you can make them sit down, for them to believe, they need to see a witness. Some people, you know, there are some people, they don't believe that. I know some people, they believe marriage is a scam. As far as they are concerned, even, you know, when they see me and my wife doing it, they say, I'm just wondering. Marriage is not a scam. For me, it's not a scam. I don't have a perfect marriage. But I know things that God has given me victory over. And then some people just have that belief. Somebody said somebody to a member said to a brother said this to a church. Said everybody is struggling in marriage. Everybody, we go out and call. Our pastor come and patch up. I'm telling you, no. That is what you call unbelief. That's how so many people are. They believe they have come to resolve that the way man is, man cannot keep covenant. Ogbon of Igbe. I don't even see Ogbon of Igbe. I said, me of Ogbon Igbe. I can tell you where I died, how I died. I'm not for Ogbon Igbe. It's not about Ogbon, sir. Some people are living it. So when people ask what is eternal life, they should not be looking for you to open their Bible to the book of John. They should have witnesses. I'm showing you the purpose of our company. Let's have that.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we always be a crop that will go ahead, that will open the heavens for others to come.
Yeah.
That will always be a crop. I did that first with Jesus. Afterwards, I did that also with the apostles and the early church. I want to do that with you, for the rest of your brethren. I want to do that with you. Everyone cannot first lay down their lives. So I need a crop, a quorum, a number that must first ascend, that must first be written in the heavens, and will be a proof
that many can ascend. That way I would have broken the heavens over men. I would have caused the brass over the nations to be broken. And then ascension of many will happen. Ascension of many will happen. Will you allow me? Will you allow me to put you in the number? I am busy recruiting. The labor this season is to convince you to be part of this number. I want to convince you. I am here trying to woo you. There is a reward if you will be part of this number. You are being invited to a communion. You are being invited to a fellowship with an intent that is written in God, with an intent that is in the Father. Allow me. Come along. Come along. Make up your mind. Stop stalling. Stop stalling. There is nothing you will gain here. There is everything that is up there waiting for you. Come along. Go on this voyage with this company. Go on this voyage. Stop being an onlooker. That is the essence of this meeting. To convince you.
Amen.
To convince you to come along, says the Spirit.
Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. And let's go back to the book of Revelation. So I'm still, given us a scope. So I've defined a scope: the habitation of God, the bride for the Lamb. All right? So God is raising overcomers that will be His habitation in respect to us being the place of rest for God. But in respect to our highest relationship with our Lord Jesus, we have to be His wife. You can be of the bridal company and you are not the bride. You can be part of the bridal company. For instance, in Revelation chapter 19, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb. Some people will be invited, but they are not the wife. So there is those that have the privilege to be part of the marriage supper. They are going to come there. That it is in that bit that the parable of the wise and foolish virgin exists. So some would be, can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But some will be part of the, they'll be invited to the wedding, but they are not the one being wedded. So being part of the bridal company does not mean you are the bride. There are levels. In the book of Revelation, for instance, in Revelation chapter 12, we have three levels. We have the woman, we have the remnant of her seed, we have the man-child. All of them are in the company. Only one sits on the throne. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can say also, we have servants of the word of God. We have prophets of the testimony. They will now have those of the book, which I call the people of God. Because the purpose of the book is to raise people of God. Look at levels existing. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So it's possible that I'm part of the company, but I don't end up as the purpose of being part of the company. So when you look at the seven churches, remember, he said to him, he didn't say to them. They already did them. To be seven churches, you are part of the company. They are now saying, because you see, in the seven, there are now conditions. So you are part of the company. Because for you to even be in seven churches, you are joining. To be part of the seven churches that appeared in heaven, I believe that there will be more than seven churches in Asia. Pastor, have you ever thought of that? Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, the whole of Asia, only seven churches appeared in the radar of the throne. So they are not ordinary churches. It means that they select churches. Those churches, what qualified them to receive the final piece of revelation to complete their journey of overcoming was they had the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. All those, am I right? All those seven churches, they had those two things. They had the word of God, testimony of Jesus. So it now qualified them for a season of understanding to conclude their journey. So when they said to him that overcome, it's not, see, for them to even be dead, they have overcome. But they have not finished overcoming. They have not become the finality of overcoming. So the purpose for the revelation of Jesus in the book of Revelation, you know, every epistle is revelation of Jesus. I hope you know that. But the book of Revelation gives us some kind of note of finality. There was something John came to receive for seven churches to conclude their journey of overcoming. He now narrowed it down. He didn't say to them, even though they're them. I missed them and I say to him. Meaning you now have to make a personal choice. To now finish the journey. Can we say amen? So some will be part of the bridal company. Look at Psalm 45. Amen. Verse 6. Before we now zero in, you know, let's look at seven churches. But before we get there, I just wonder the kind of warfare those seven churches were going through. What kind of battle they were going through. They were worrying a lot. They were the final frontier of warfare. Because the promises that were given to them were rewards. To him that overcome, will I give this? Will I give this? They are, all of them are tools of reigning. So they were being told that if you overcome, you are going to come into your reign. A rod of iron, the throne, you know, all those things. He says, you eat of the tree of life. That is powerful. So they even journey to the point where they can now be promised with those things. Oh, my. We are going to get there. Allah, so when Reverend Bushi says, when we are 40 years, yes, we should have that kind of, we should put time in this thing. We should set time for ourselves. So, set time. Say, by so time, we should have arrived there. We should have arrived there. Where these things become real. A company knew Eden Manor was. A company knew what throne was. You can't give that as a promise to today's church. Very surely rain. You are talking Eden Manor. What's Eden Manor? What's rod of iron? It means nothing to this church generation. But to a generation that existed in the time of John, they knew what it meant. They knew what the Eden Manor was, and what rod of iron was, and what throne of God was. Glory to God. Are you with me? So, thy throne, O God, is forever, and the scepter of thy kingdom is the right scepter. Continue. But thou lovest righteousness, and hidden iniquity, therefore what? Thy God had anointed thee with the what? Oil of gladness above thy fellows. Everybody say, thy fellows. Those fellows are the overcomers. I hope you know that. They are the fellows. So Jesus is raising fellows that will overcome like he overcame. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and what? And cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they make thee glad. Now look at this. This is where I'm going. Can we say amen? Amen. King's daughters were among thy what? So we can say there is honorable women. There is now what? King's daughters. So they have already showed vision already. So you can be an honorable woman. You are not a king's daughter. Now, Pastor Tayo, you know that the message of salvation is to the daughters of Zion. Isaiah 62 verse 11. Say ye to who? When you say daughter of Zion, they have been born. They have been born out of a Zionic experience. They have become babes of God. They are the ones that you say ye to. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. So when you are not of this company, you don't understand salvation. It does not mean anything to you. It takes a daughter of Zion to see salvation as their life. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. And what? So the whole concept of work and rewards is to a church that is born out of a Zion experience. So I'm showing you king's daughter. Can we say amen? Amen. So we have honorable women. We have king's daughter. Then he now says, upon thy right did what? Stand the queen in what? This is another one. So this queen is not king's daughter. It's not honorable woman. They now call that queen. I like the word queen, meaning she's reigning. Glory to God. So I believe that the seven churches were some kind of churches. I call them most holy church, most holy virgin churches. You can't say they are virgin churches alone. When I say virgin, because if you're a sanctuary church, you're a virgin church. Can we say amen? The doctrine of Christ separates you. You know, the doctrine of Christ is also the doctrine, is also sanctification of Christ. It's a sanctification message. Christ sanctifies you and separates you. So once you have received of the doctrine of Christ, you become separate unto God. So you are a kind of a virgin. So, but there's a difference between a virgin from the doctrine of Christ and virgins that have been what? Raised under the light of the everlasting God. They're also virgins. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pastor used the word chaste virgins. Can we say amen? Amen. So, Sir, am I in line, sir? So you now know Matthew 25 is not talking to sanctuary churches. I had always interpreted that scripture until recently. I started thinking about, you know, Matthew 25 aside from Matthew 24. Matthew 25 is a continuation of Matthew 24. Jesus was talking about three things. When shall be? Amen. Take me back. Are you with me? Matthew 24. Take me to the first three verses, then I'll come here. I'm showing you the identity of the seven churches and where God wants us to come to as a company. I think if I've done that, then maybe my next session, if I've prevailed on another session, we'll now look at what was warning the seven churches. The Lord told me that those things will be fight the same thing that they fought. Satan can remove them. I mean, if you know that Satan does not have new, he doesn't have new tools. He just rebranded, that's all. So Balaam, Jezebel, Nicolaitans. They still exist. But you notice that the seven churches, they were warring with doctrines. You know, at times you don't see doctrine warring with doctrines as war. The problem of seven churches was not that they were warring with that maybe they are not going to succeed in life. They are past all that. What they were warring was doctrine. And doctrine is not just teaching, it's life. They were warring some manner of life that was being said to them by an adversary. So we must understand that same thing you will war if you sit on the throne. So we must understand the context in our own day. Because one time you want to google it theologically or historically, you can't even get it. You need revelation. The Lord says you have to wait on revelation to begin to open those things. When you go and check, what's doctrine of Nicolaitan? And say it's Nicholas. It's not Nicholas. Even Satan doesn't want us to know what it is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say one Nicholas. Oh, it's not one Nicholas. Nico. It's something that... Anyway, we'll get there. Can we say amen? I mean, just touch it a little and just have an idea of what it is. All right? Glory to God. I said something before this. What did I say before this? Yes. I wanted to quote something there. And Jesus went and departed from the temple. Matthew 24 is a very important teaching in the teaching of Jesus Christ. You see, when you look at Jesus' teaching, Matthew 13 to 17, very important. Because there were the teachings he taught while he was finishing his journey on the earth. They are very important. They are notable teachings. Not like everything he taught was not important, but you know, there are things we must take time and understand. This is also an important one and has been really misinterpreted. So it takes those that have the light of God to be able to properly see Matthew 24 and 25 in the proper context. Now look at verse 2 quickly. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall be what? Not be left one stone upon another. All these things shall be thrown down. We're talking this. And he sat on the Mount of Olives. This is also very prophetic anyway. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be what? He didn't say signs. There's a sign. So normally we talk about the signs. We don't talk about the sign. The sign of thy coming. And anytime we see thy coming, we always think of physical coming first. Perusia is an ongoing finality. Now, I may be wrong, but I believe the sign of his perusia in the church is verse 14. When I mean that, when I know the sign, when it says sign of his coming, not physical coming first, Jesus is not going to come physically first. He will come through his what? He will come what? Through his appearing. Through the gospel. Thank you, ma. The gospel is how he comes. The revelation of Jesus. Revelation of Jesus is coming. So when you see Jesus physically appear, it means his revelation has fully come. And what is his revelation coming to do? It is to install his exact component in men. So the purpose of revelation of Jesus, appearing of Jesus, is that what he is, we become. How many of you know that Jesus is not just going to appear in the sky? Like, oh, Jesus is coming any time now, like tomorrow, right now. If Jesus comes tomorrow, it means a bride is ready. So I see no bride yet. I don't see no bride yet. I may be wrong, you know, I don't know. If Jesus comes in the next 20 years, it will be a miracle. It will be a miracle. That means the church journeyed far. This company, we have journeyed very far. Because it means we were ready. We have made ourselves ready. Because he's coming for a glorious church without what? Adam alone. And what? And blemish. And any such thing. So it means spot, sin, wrinkle, death. So it means I will be sinless and deathless to become glorious. Another one for glory, salvation. So Jesus is coming for a fully saved church. If he appears now in the sky, it means there's a fully saved church ready for him. Meaning they're already witnessing. I can tell you, the day they start witnessing is the only way Jesus is going to come. There's work to do on earth. How many of you know that? We want to run away to do what exactly? To be singing him in heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. La, 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 la. So it means that when we will become glorious church, they will leave us here on a while. You will live out eternal life well for nations to see. They call this place Eternal Life Embassy. Is it an honorary name? You know what an embassy? An embassy is a representation of a country. So they're saying that eternal life must become visible on earth.
Is a wisdom, eternal wisdom. Is that you are burning? Even heaven is coming down. Amen. Souls are emerging. Amen. For the day is here. The day is here.
Amen.
The day is here. For the King is coming. Yeah, is here.
Amen. That's a very powerful prophecy. We need to be alert to the times. So I'm showing you that revelation of Jesus is what prepares him for his physical coming. Coming is revelation of Jesus. What did I say? When there's revelation of Jesus, he's coming already. So we know, like I said, Jesus is coming for a glorious return. If his physical final coming is in under 20 years, it means we were fast. We're very fast. I've been asking God about times and seasons. I'm very concerned about times and seasons. I know I don't know the day or the hour, but I don't play with times and seasons because I understand the power of times in winning a battle. Oh, yes. So you know that even John receiving the book of Revelation, it was a season. They had to orchestrate it within a time. Go and check the conditions on the earth during that time. The emperor that was ruling in Rome, the conditions that were around human life. They had to position John to read. It was an exact time. God doesn't do just anything. I mean, if you understand the nature of God, you understand that God works in time, within the dispensation of time. Can we say amen? You know, Pastor, I look at it that why did Jesus fulfill Passover at Passover? Why not any time of the year? So, why they were crucifying Jesus Christ? Passover was going on. The prophecy was fulfilled, they didn't know. They have been slaughtering ram for years. The day that the real ram will be slaughtered, it was when they were slaughtering their ram. As they were slaughtering their own ram, God was slaughtering his own ram. Same time. God has a very deep sense of accuracy. Same thing with Pentecost. It was during the feast of Pentecost that the Holy Ghost came. God doesn't play with timing. I just understand that God also works within the framework of time. So that's why I understand when Paul says of times and seasons. The church should not be ignorant of times and seasons. It's part of our responsibility as a New Testament church. So this team is a seasonal team. It means God wants us to know what it means to overcome. We must run with that sense. When you say overcoming, it means that we are now running with a sense of timing. Maybe if we say, I can call this burden of this meeting, like the lamb and his wife. Now, when I say the lamb and his wife, I say, well, at the end of the age. But when you say the overcomer, it puts you in a sense of urgency. I said, okay, this is the note. God is passing a message to us. Everybody say, power. You know, you need power to overcome. Now, when you look at power in physics, you can't talk power without energy. Amen. Let's go to science now. I may be a science student. So energy is the ability to do work. So without energy, you can't do work. Eh? So if you're going to overcome, we need energy. Or are you with me? You want to over. You need some kind of thing. Eh? Pushing you. That is the purpose of revelation of Jesus. He's a tool. He's a power booster. It's to push you against an opposition. But another thing, energy is not enough. Because you can't talk energy without power. Energy is ability to do. What power is the rate. Huh? So rate at which work is done. So to the seven churches, it was not just energy, it was power. They needed to overcome in a season where they should overcome. If you do a work that you're supposed to do at 12 o'clock at 6 p.m., you did not overcome. There is a condition that you must overcome within a framework of a time and a framework of a condition for them to now say, this is overcoming. You know, this generation, your problem is that you want to do work at your time. No, we fight our children on that. That's a warfare with our children. Say, mommy, I will do it. No! Do it now! I will do it in my time. So there is a season to overcome. I know, are you with me? All right, let me not lose my thought. So sign of his coming, like I said, is 14 of Matthew 24. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. In other words, for an awareness. Oh, you're not getting me. What was the theme of this conference last year? Do you see a connection? So this message will not be preached for a general knowledge. It's preached for what? Unto all nations. So it means this, how I interpret the scripture. The sign are witnesses. The sign of thy coming are witnesses. So it is in this context that we now see Noah come up. Why did they talk about Noah in chapter 24? Who was Noah? He was a witness. I know you're talking many things and all that. Well, I may not be right. I'm not saying teaching this as a note of finality. But what I can say, when you say the sign of his coming, the sign of the revelation of Jesus, are witnesses. Witnesses must appear in heaven. Witnesses must appear in heaven. May God give us understanding. So Matthew 24 is now a continuation. It now says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps. And they went forth to meet what? So what was the purpose of their lamps? Took lamps. Everybody say lamps. The purpose of their lamps is that they wanted to go and what? Meet their bridegroom. So another thing the Lord said is that at the end of the age, as revelation of Jesus is increasing, one of the highest expression of the appearing of Jesus is that he wants to appear to the church as a bridegroom. His identity. Because when you see book of Revelation, that's why it is climaxing. You see a bridegroom in churches that wants a bride. So the bridegroom will come into churches that are virgins. You can only get a bride. I miss virgins. Now, what are those virgins? They are not just virgins of the sanctuary. Because lambs, I checked the word lambs, Pastor Tayo. You know, Urim and Tumim, which are the stones of the high priest. Urim means burning light. So actually, everlasting churches, churches of the Most Holy, they are Urim churches. So to have a lamp, to have a lamp means that, you know, you are churches of the Word of God. At least you are already serving in the Most Holy. That means that the purpose of the revelation of Jesus is for one thing, to churches in the Most Holy to meet the what? Bridegroom. So, because I look at the context, it says, I went forth to meet their bridegroom. So, we can liken those seven churches in the book of Revelation. Are you now following me? Because I'm gradually moving there. As churches that want to meet who? The bridegroom. Now to Revelation chapter 1. Let me just do an introduction and I will continue later. Are we being blessed? Yes, sir. Can we say amen? Amen? So let's just read from verse 1 to about 5. Revelation. So we must understand the architecture of the book of Revelation, because now we must teach this. I want to teach this overcoming in, with this sense. You know, there are measures of overcoming with the doctrines. There's overcoming within the framework of doctrine of Christ. A measure of overcoming. For instance, when you overcome the flesh, it's an overcoming. But it's not the overcoming. You overcome flesh. Good. Meaning you are not longer flesh. You know the old man is both flesh and blood. So you can overcome the flesh of the old man. He still remain what? The blood. So, but when you overcome the flesh, you have done some measure of overcoming. So you overcame. Eh? Meaning you are not carnal anymore. You are spiritual. A spiritual man is an overcomer. Eh? But he's not the overcomer. Ask me why. He has not handled the promise of eternal life. Because now our measurement of the overcomers is in respect of the promise of God. Of course, it's a good thing to overcome the flesh. Meaning you are not carnal anymore. That's a wonderful thing. When you overcome the flesh, you see what spirits that want to pull you into. Pull you back there. So there's no, at no point where you should rest. Because when you attain victory, after a measure of overcoming, you see fine spirits in that zone. What they hate is that you left them. And what they do is that they don't leave you. They still try to push circumstances to drag you back to your former zone. If possible, yes. They enjoy imprisoning you. Maybe you were captive to a particular nature. And then God gave you victory over that nature. That spirit in charge of that territory is looking for how they're going to bring you back. That's why there's no point in warfare where you rest. If you rest and drink tea, your former captors will reorganize themselves. You know, I tell you, I get this as a pastor. You know, I'm a pastor. Let me go, pastor. Daddy, I thought I've overcome masturbation. It has gone before it came back again. You have lived, you know, maybe managed marriage, you know, for years and all that, you know, free of any kind of issue. Does not mean Satan will leave you, still try you. As I Satan can try you with something he knows that he will not even, it should not affect you, but let Esha. You know, that's one thing. If there's any positive thing I like about these evil spirits, is that they don't stop, sir. They don't ever get Esha. I mean, you know, you hear that somebody is a son of God. You see when to tempt him. Let's go and test if he's really a son of God. This is my beloved son. Who are well, please? Eh? You see when there. Then they gave him testimony. This is a son of God. Who is well? Yeah, him. You know that the warfare between him and the cross was Jesus' highest warfare in his ministry. Even at the cross, he was at the cross, he was hung. They still came, if you be the son of God. You know, one time I thought about it. I said, Kai, I say, thank God for the son of God. You know, Jesus, imagine Jesus there. He's already, in us, he's, I just removed. Everywhere we scatter. You know, I see the death that Jesus died. He kept dying. He kept reducing and reducing and reducing. At the height of his pain, you know that thing was painful. Have you seen the nail they used to nail him? Huh? At the height of his pain, Satan still threw one dart. That was shifting. You know that Moses Ibinu? Moses was last. Ibinu last. I hope you last, no? To you, it was nothing. In heaven, I say, wow. And God says, okay, you know, they enter promised land. So Jesus said, Father, forgive them. I'm sure this is said, we never see this kind one before. At the height of his pain. So you know, those are Jesus' victories. Final victories. Glory to God. So the seven churches were most holy virgin churches. That's what I'm saying. They were not yet the bride. They were not yet the Lamb's wife. Neither can we say they have become the habitation of God. For you to have word of God and testimony of Jesus, it means you have joined it far. But yet, Your revelation is not complete. And if your revelation is not complete, your installation is not complete. And if your installation is not complete, your overcoming is not complete. You still need to overcome. All right, so the revelation of Jesus, which God gave unto him to show his servants, things which must what? Shortly come to pass, and sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus and of all things that he saw. So there were things that he saw. All right? Most of the time we dwell within things that he saw. But he bore record of the word of God. Can we say word of God? And what? Testimony of Jesus. Now, those are tools of overcoming and they are powers. Because you can't talk overcoming without power. What did I say? So there has to be complete installation of power. Jesus, after resurrection, says, all powers in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Okay? So it means that, like I said, heaven and earth, I've taught that there before, heaven and earth is an exact composition of life in God. There are powers in God that are earth. There are powers in God that are what? Heaven. That's the old doctrine of the kingdom, properly arranged inside God. So, what makes God God are the arrangement of laws inside him. It will be taught to us as powers. What are in gospel powers? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. But inside it is powers. So when you break down gospel of Christ, they are anatomy of powers inside that gospel. Same thing with the gospel of God. Can we say amen? So, you know, so it means we must dissect gospel to access power. We must have access into their powers. Because the power of God is what makes God God. Can we say amen? God powers are powers of nature. You say somebody is powerful. You think of what he does. You don't think of who he is. You don't think of the laws that frame him. In God, powers are laws. Oh, you're not saying amen. What did I say? Laws that frame your nature. So, having record, bearing record of the word of God, word of God, testimony of Jesus, their powers for overcoming. Their powers of framing, or their powers within the scope of the revelation of Jesus. So we must have access into what they represent. Glory to God. Of all things which you saw. And I says, blessed is he that readeth, and what? They that hear the words of this prophecy. Can we say words of this prophecy? Now, it means all the revelations of Jesus, they are prophecies. What is prophecy? Revelation of Jesus. So they are revelation of Jesus, are prophetic will that must be done to acquire life for overcoming. Let me say that again. Revelation of Jesus, what are they? Prophetic will. They're like prophetic scripts or books that must be done. And when you do them, what do you acquire? Life or power. It now says what? And keep those things which are what? Written therein, for the time is at hand. So, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. From him who was, which is, which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before the throne. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Now, there are two things I want us to say here. We must understand the framework of the revelation of Jesus, because it gives us understanding of what we must attain to in our journey of overcoming. Can we say amen? So, what John must supply is an understanding. So it takes understanding to overcome. What did I say? So overcoming is an intentional access. You don't overcome in ignorance. It takes a economy of understanding to grant you skill to overcome. Glory to God. So it means the word of God and the testimony of Jesus are seasons of understanding. The word of God is a revelation of Jesus that is an understanding. And understanding is what equips you to overcome. They are armaments. They are equipments of Jesus. Can we say amen? Amen. Equipments of Jesus. Reverend calls it powers. Powers. So understanding the word of God. Testimony of Jesus. Revelation 22 from verse 6. Quickly. So what John received for the seven churches is an exact understanding, which he called sayings of the book. All right? And it was for the purpose of overcoming. Because I look at it that the overcoming in the context of the seven churches of the book of Revelation was for one thing, to come into the, there were promises. All, maybe we can run, maybe we just shortly run through them. There were promises. All of those things were promises of God. There are seven churches. The church in Ephesus, what was promised to them? Let's quickly run through before I come back here. He that has an ear, let him hear. We'll just run through the promises, all right? He that has an ear, let him hear. What the Spirit said, what? You know, oftentimes we put ourselves here. No, this is not talking to everybody in the Christendom. In the general sense, we have read Book of Revelation. I see people reading Book of Revelation, telling us, all right, Elon Musk is the first beast or something, you know. There's a way. I said, I've been around for a while. There was a time that Putin was the Antichrist. There was a time it was Gorbachev. How many of you remember Gorbachev? There was a time it was Hitler. So I noticed that Antichrist will be changing from time to time. So that's why I said, the book is the book of prophecies within this book. Is it in there? It is written to a special kind of church that has understanding of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Meaning you must have those powers to comprehend this understanding. Now the purpose of the book of prophecy is to overcome. Overcoming is within the, in fact, the old book, because the book of Revelation was an epistle written to seven churches. Hello. So it was given in the context of overcoming. It's an understanding to equip you to overcome. Having the understanding of the word of God. Everybody say word of God. Now what does the word of God do? It gives you the frame of God. The word of God gives me what? The body of, you see, Jesus Christ has a body. So to receive him fully, you know, the purpose of revelation is to receive everything that the Son of God is. But you know, we must receive him gradually. So the first thing you will receive is his what? Is what? His word. His word gives you his body. The word of God is the outward configuration of the Son of God. Glory to God. We can call it the flesh of the Son of God. So, Pastor Tayo, the communion table is a table of overcoming. It's a system of journey receiving the Son of God, and it teaches us how to overcome. So, within the framework of receiving the body called Jesus, there is a season of overcoming attached to that. Because to have his frame, you must overcome some things. Can we say amen? I'm gradually becoming, can we say amen? Amen. Then his testimony is in his blood. So you're receiving him, flesh and blood. He's receiving the inner life of the Son of God. He's receiving his testimony. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But there is now an addition. So testimony is concluded or finalized in this understanding. So it is within the framework of this prophecy that you now overcome. You overcome to come into God. Now I can overcome and enter Christ. I can overcome and have a measure of everlasting life. But there is a final overcoming that when I overcome, I enter the God. So that is the purpose of the revelation of Jesus. What they call book of prophecy is to finish installation of the Son of God in men. Everybody say lamp. Now what Jesus is must become our reality. Meaning each revelation of Jesus is a installation of lambic life. Until that life is fully what? Installed. So when you say the lamb's wife, it means the lamb has found somebody exactly like him. So that's the purpose. So what's the purpose of revelation of Jesus? To become like him. Now let me say this addition. Are you with me? You can't become like him without a fight. So the overcoming is the process of acquiring him. Now, when you look at seven churches, they were in a fight, it's clear. There were churches, supply of understanding came within a season of warfare. So, let's just look at, so, tree of life, to him that overcome it, to him. Now, all of them are already overcoming company. How do I know? What they have shows that they only, you can't have word of God and testimony of Jesus, and what you want to do is to want to buy a car. You want to build the best house on it. No, you can't have those two things and the throne is not your destination. Oh, you are not answering me. What you are holding shows me where you are going. So I understand that these churches, by what has been received in their midst, they were God bound or throne bound. That's why I keep saying that this emphasis must not reduce in our churches. What you emphasize, show me where you are going as a church. I don't know. I don't want to emphasize on everlasting life. It's too much. I don't, you know, all those things are complex. You are not ready to go to the throne. You know, there are some kind of controversy you don't want to, you want to avoid. You want to remain neutral. You are not throne bound. I have taken the identity of an heretic. I don't have time explaining to you. Take me, it's all right. An identity of somebody trying to overstretch things. You people don't know more than this thing. They are not practical. They are not practical. So, you know, when you teach overcoming in the sense of having good things of life, that's not overcoming. Amen. There are people that don't know God. They are very okay. Hello? If your purpose of knowing God is koshori re, I won't come at you. Ori re ni rawa. And they don't know Jesus Christ. I hope you're not angry with me. So these churches are throne bound. So to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. So the purpose of the book of prophecy is to supply complete understanding. To finish, because if you don't overcome, you can't eat of the tree of life. Now, what does this mean? It means Adam. There are two places you see tree of life in scripture. Maybe in the prophets, in Ezekiel, but you see it in Genesis and Revelation. Oh, that should tell us something. So it means that eternal life was a promise even to Adam. Adam did not have eternal life. It was a promise. So, Pastor, what do you mean? It was a promise. When he fell, and he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you mustn't be interested in these things now. God had to send him out of the garden. Least he what? Stretch his hands and what? Touch of the tree of life. Because the tree of life is a sealing tree. What did I say? The tree of life is not just tree. There's also leaves. The leaves of the tree is for healing of nations. So is the leaf is an understanding. The fruit is an understanding. So, but if Adam had touched of the tree of life, the fruit of the tree of life, God says that, let's quickly drive this man away. If he takes of this tree of life, come on, Lord, dance you alone. What it means is that with the tree of life, with what Adam, it is possible that his state will have been sealed. It is possible. I'm just assuming. So that God will not have to destroy man entirely. God had to quickly intervene and drive him out. And then he eats the tree of life. So he put cherubs there with swords, titan eater. So it means that people that is going to come to this tree of life, they must have finished works. What does it mean to finish work? Everybody say walk. Say it again. Excellent, God say. Walk is what the Son of God is. The Son of God. You know, how many of you know that Son did not exist before? It was Word that became Son. It means sonship is a walk. So what Jesus became is a walk that must be reproduced. So when you say you finished work, you finish what God ordained man to do. God does not have many things for man to do. There's an exact work that a man must do while he's on earth to become what man should become. Are you with me? Amen. I've finished the work. You know, this is not ministry work. I've finished the work. It's called work. I can say, Pastor Tyler, that work is to become a lamb. Lambic life is a state that when you finish the work, you can attain a life called the lamb. So when I finish work, tree of life is there as a reward for the work I have finished. So it's a promise. So Adam did not finish the work. But at least he put his hand on the tree of life. It will damage his whole configuration. So let's push him out. This promise is for those that finish work. So to him that overcome, I will give to it. So it means it's an understanding. Eternal life is an understanding of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Can we say amen? Amen. So this is as a result of the book of prophecy. It is to bring an understanding to those that have received measures of the revelation of Jesus. But they need to finish overcoming. This is the last piece. So he that has an ear, let him hear. What the Spirit said to the church is, he that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. Can we say amen? Amen. So if you don't overcome, you can still be hurt by the second death. So we must understand what second death is for a company of overcoming. You know this idea. Once saved, always saved. So they say you'll not be hurt. So you need to understand what it means to be hurt by second death. Actually, as a company, we must understand second death. Of course, in understanding second death, it means we must understand life. You can't know death if you don't know life. Am I right, sir? You must know what it means not to be hurt. You must know what it means to be kept from the wicked one. It is a skill of overcoming. Ability to be kept, meaning that Reverend Musi is the same. He has been like that for 20 years, not defiled. That is a mystery. We must understand, how does a man become like that? How is a man not changing? It's like exact. It doesn't reduce, in fact, it's increasing. So meaning that he has access to something that makes him like that. So not be hurt by second, that means I am kept. 1 John chapter 5 verse 18. Whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, and he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And the wicked one touching not. So part of the skill of overcoming is to have an understanding that can make the wicked one not touch me. I must journey to that point. Now, if the wicked one cannot touch you, it means you cannot be hurt by the second death. Because he talked about second death before this verse. Now, let's just see two more. But I don't know if I blessed you today. I was thinking that, what will I say? Reverend, she has taught everything. when you're in the house of an apostolic teacher, you are in soup. You don't go scot-free. Every area of Bible is touched. You can't be in this church and say you are ignorant. If you have been in this church for 10 years and ignorant, I will flog you. You need cane. Amen. I'm sure you have heard a lot. So he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to church. To him that what? I will give him to eat of what? Hidden manna. And will give him what? A white stone. And in a stone. A new name. Which no man what? Knoweth. Except what? Him that knoweth it. Actually, the white stone was a symbol of victory in the Roman Empire. The white stone was a symbol of victory. Anytime you had that white stone, there was a seal on it. It's a sign that you have conquered. It was a sign of someone that has finished conquering. So you don't have white stone except you finish warfare. They don't give white stone to somebody that did not fight battle. It was something that emperors or generals carried as a sign of their conquest. Can we say amen? So like I said, that overcoming is the journey of our conquering. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. So those are things that we're going to break down again. Works. Everybody say works. So an overcomer must understand the works of God. What did I say? Because if I don't understand what works of God, what will I keep to the end? That end means that there is an end to works. And to him will I give power over nations. What is that power? Power over nations. So God wants to give men power over nations. So it just shows that when I overcome, when we overcome, we'll be here. When you overcome, you don't overcome and they take you to heaven. When you overcome, you will be reigning. Amen. So what's the purpose of overcoming? Reigning. Everybody say reigning. Power over nations. It's reigning. All the things tied to overcoming are reignings. He shall rule with a high umbrella. I will give him the morning star. They are all reignings. Same thing with the throne of God. That's the Laodicean church. So all those things are tied to overcoming. So why do we need to overcome? Number one, I said God needs an habitation and a place of rest. The Lamb needs a bride. I've settled that. Now I'm also establishing that overcoming is tied to our reigning. Meaning before this age will close, Jesus needs a church that will reign. That is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. I hope I have blessed you. Then comment the end. Everybody say, comment the end. When he shall have what? Deliver the kingdom up to God and what? Even the Father. When he shall have what? Damn alone. Everybody say, all rule. And what? And what? So this is why you must reign. So you have to overcome to access your reign. Now your reign will begin from here. We will reign from here to the world to come. Glory to God. This is exciting. Look at the next verse after that. For he must reign. So there is a reigning that you must reign. So who is reigning? Jesus is reigning through his body, through his witnesses, through sons that have inherited all things. For him must, so that's the purpose of the seven churches. They wanted to adopt them for reigning. Till he has what? Put all enemies under his feet. So you need complete installation, the revelation of Jesus for reigning. So you now see what seven churches were waiting for. They needed that supply to come into their reign. So put on him, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. Can we say amen? God is supplying something. I was telling, I don't know what I was saying. We had a meeting over the weekend. And I said I was telling the people, I said, God is up to something. I believe that God has committed himself to our generation already. Except we now are not ready. How I know God is committed to us is the supply of the revelation of Jesus. There is nothing that God can give you beyond understanding. There's nothing. It's not in having encounters. Thank God for encounters. It's not in God giving us miracles and evidences of all those. Thank God for that. The highest commitments of God to a generation is the revelation of Jesus. It's the progressive revelation of Jesus. That is God giving you himself. So with all that God is giving us, we know he's up to something. Now, finally, what is God looking for? Ask me. Say it to me. There's one thing. I checked throughout church history, everything I studied. One thing I know that God is looking for is a man child. If I said there's something God is looking for, you say, God, what are you looking for? I need a man child. Because when a man child ascended and sat to the throne, it means others can come. Others will come, but one has gone. So, if there's anything God is waiting for in this, our generation, I can tell you, he's waiting for that man-child company. The assignment is to receive all the installation of the revelation of Jesus. Is to receive everything. Because once you have received it, you overcome the dragon. You will cut him from the air. Then you pave way for others. And then we can close this age. God does not love this dispensation. He wants it over. As in, like yesterday. But we must follow the order. Overcomers must be raised. Then come at the end. Can we lift up our hands? Let us thank Jesus. Can we thank Jesus?
We believe you have been fed by this inspiring ministration from God's servant. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our special meetings? You can join us every Wednesday for the special teaching series by 6 p.m. or on Sundays by 8 a.m. online or on-site at Eternal Life Embassy Assembly around you. For inquiries, call 0704-921-2074 or 0703-395-8818 or visit www.fmeli.org. Remain blessed.